Hi, this is Harold. Welcome to Transformation's weekly message and podcast. I'm glad you are making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end of today's message, but for now, let's see what God wants to teach us. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of God's word and message. Well, good morning. We are live and we are together, and it's kind of warm outside, not too bad. And glad to be here, glad to see everybody on this AFC Championship Sunday with a little Kansas City Chiefs football game later to go. How about those Chiefs? Yeah. And everybody's pretty stoked about that. Even the game before, I think, is going to be pretty exciting. So exciting day in the world of sports, to say the least. But I'm glad everybody made it out today. We are whipped. Susie and I are whipped. If you see Susie hobbling around where she looks like she needs serious help, that's because she's been going a mile a minute all week, just as I have. And we were able to recruit some good folks to come over and help us move yesterday. And we moved two moves. Taylor and Audrey moved as well. So we started at our house at 8. We were done before noon, loaded, locked, and delivered. That's how many people we had. It was unbelievable. And then and then we did the same thing, and we even had to stop at John's, who gave testimony here last week, to pick up stuff for Taylor from there as well, and we were done before 2 o'clock. So we were hopping and rolling and moving. But last night, Susie and I were like, yeah, we were like the land of the living dead, or whatever you want to call it. And we still are. So we got lots of stuff to go through. We can barely see in our house, but we'll figure it out because we downsized for sure. But once we get it all together, we'll have everybody over. We'll have fun. But thank you for all your prayers. And by that team doing that, we're able to save the church that expense, you know, which was $3,000 or $4,000. You know, so that's money we saved for ourselves by all those people helping us out. So I'm very grateful for that as well. In GroupMe, you saw that I have a book launching, and it's going to be on March 27th. I'm going to put that link in there again. I encourage you to come. I want you to come. But it's only invitation only. It'll be about 150 people there. It'll be a fun night. There'll be food. It's going to be at Cyberg's Dorset, 270 and Dorset Road. And it'll be on Thursday night. It'll be from 6 to 9. And it'll be a lot of good people there from all over the world. So it's a great fellowship event. Also, our friend Sonia Lee is coming in from Nashville. She's a singer-songwriter in Nashville, produced a lot of music. She got a new CD coming out, but she's coming, and she'll be there to perform in between certain things. And then she'll do probably about an hour's worth of music there off a new CD she's got coming out. Just heard her acoustic, and it's absolutely incredible. So we'll have a good time. That's going to be fun. So I really encourage you to come. You're welcome to bring a guest with you. You just need to register, though, so we got full control of the head count and everything. So I'll put that in GroupMe again. If you don't get on GroupMe and you need help with it, and you want me to email you a link or whatever, please let me know that. But we'd love for you to come and be a part of that for sure. So welcome. We're in week 3 of a year-long series called Body, Mind, and Spirit, and it's focused on soul restoration. So we'll be in this series the entire year. The first third will be on the body, the second third will be on the mind, and the last third will be on the spirit, with, you know, obviously celebrating major events in the church along the way. And then, of course, Testimony Sunday each week, each month as well. But over the last 2 weeks, we've explored how God calls us to honor Him, right, through our physical, mental, and spiritual lives. We're called all these areas, and it's easy to compromise, it's easy to neglect, it's easy to get out of that mode. And so we want to do that, and our bodies are important, how we take care of them, how we look at them, how we see them for what they truly are, makes a big difference in our effectiveness, if you would, on sharing the good news and fulfilling the purpose that God's called you in your particular life in ministry, but also just in love and service to the people around you. A wise mentor of mine a long time ago, Lewis Trotter, told me a long time ago in his B.B. King voice, "Harold, it's hard to do good when you don't feel good." Right? And it's true. If you don't feel good, Susie's not feeling good right now, so it's hard to do good when you don't feel good. So really, really important. And Mike's pretty wore out, too. We wore him out pretty good yesterday. He's small enough, he can hide behind furniture, pretend he's working. I caught him doing that a lot, you know, just doing a lot of talking. And but in week one, the image of God, we rediscovered our identity as God's image bearers. That we, and it's easy to lose sight of that you were created in the image of God. It's hard to imagine that sometimes, especially when you look at all the defects of character you possess. It's like, this is the image of God. But yeah, it is. It's the image of God. We are image bearers, emphasizing the sacred of how we live and care for ourselves. And that in itself is a message. Just how we live our lives, and take care of our bodies. Yesterday, one of the guys that I mentor, Mike, had a major heart attack a few years ago. I mean, where he passed away, and then they brought him back. And he survived it and all kinds of heart surgeries and all that stuff. But he finally quit smoking cigars. And so he's doing a lot better, a couple years later. Well, he brought some of his recruits over there helping us yesterday, and a couple of them were smoking. And he was almost like grabbing their cigarettes out of their mouth, putting them out, the reformed smoker. It was great. But he was like, come on, I love you, man. We got to knock that off. You see what it did to me? So he was trying to be a message for himself. Week two, we talked about the temple within, reminding us that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit dwells here. This is a residence for the Holy Spirit, calling us to honor God through stewardship and discipline. And today we're going to take a journey further by exploring how what we put in our stuff in our bodies can glorify God and deepen our worship. So garbage in, garbage out. And that's just the truth. And so we're going to hit 3 points today as we talk about that. And then we're going to go into communion, a time of communion together. But you think about, if you had to grade yourself throughout your lifetime on your eating habits, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give yourself? If I had an Achilles heel in my spiritual walk, it's always been diet and nutrition, period. It's always been my Achilles heel. But a lot of it has to do is that I just look at it as from a very self-centered approach, not a spiritual, principle like we're talking about right now. And so I think when that mindset really sets in and you shift, you can have some real traction and not get caught in the extremes. There's nothing wrong with doing fitness, of course, and that's important. But, these extreme diets, we've probably all done some version of some extreme diet in your lifetime. There's thousands of them out there. I can remember the cabbage soup diet back in the 90s when people were bringing in cabbage soup and just, the break room would be just awful. It's like, and they'd say, well, I started this cabbage soup side. I said, one or two things, you're either going to burn out of that like yesterday or you're going to die from eating cabbage soup. One of the two is going to happen. There's no way you're going to stay eating cabbage soup. There's no way you can do that without burning out on it. So you can go to all these extremes. And again, it's a very worldly attempt to try to control what's going on. Or you can die to self and try it God's way. And this is what our scriptures are going to challenge us to do, is to try it God's way. Try to live a Jesus-centered, Spirit-centered life as you approach your health. And it's a personal thing. It's very personal. You have to concede into your inner soul who you are, that I got to do better here. But God equips us, I think, with all direction, a plan, and there's lots of tools out there to help us do that. And I think if we're honest, and this is where I know for sure, but if you're honest with yourself when it comes to your trials with eating, it's emotional based. It's a distraction from whatever's going on in the world. And it doesn't, in my life in that moment, it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. It could be simply the Chiefs game's on. I'm excited about that. But you want a distraction, so you go rob the cupboard late at night. And if you're like me, you can't just eat one Oreo. Is anybody can just take one Oreo out and eat it, and that's it? It's because you don't like Oreos. Because I can't. If I test myself, you test the flesh, you lose. It's just you'll eat more than you need to, and that's a real temptation. So point number one, eating as an act of worship. So when you eat and you look at your life and your diet, do you treat it as an act of worship? I've always been pretty, consistent for years for blessing the food, praying over the food, no matter where we're at, whether we're in public or in somebody else's, it doesn't matter. But when it comes to really thinking about the act of eating, what you're putting into your body in the whole regimen, do you see that as an act of worship? And Our real key scripture today is 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, which reminds us that even the simple act of eating and drinking can glorify God, that we're glorifying God by doing this. So every time, you know, you drink water and do these type of things, you're glorifying God because you're taking care of the vessel he's going to use to advance his kingdom. It's like changing oil and rotating the tires on your car. If you want the car to get you from point A to point B for a while, you're going to have to take care of it. Well, it's the same way with our health. And, of course, things can come at us that we don't expect. And we have people sitting here right now who can attest to that right now. You don't ask for those things, those illnesses or those setbacks in your life, but they come and you deal with them as you come. But for most of you know, my sister Teresa, my half-sister Teresa in Kansas last week, woke up, her daughter was at the house. She was 43 years old, and her 7-year-old son went in, and she was unresponsive. Unfortunately, she passed away in her sleep due to a heart attack, they said. They've come back and confirmed the autopsy that it was a heart attack. So you just never know, you know, what's going on, when things are going to shift in your life. But we do have a lot of say-so on what we put into our lives and put into our bodies, and I think this is where we're being challenged. It's not just about physical sustenance, but it's about intentionality and gratitude. So being intentional about what I eat, but also being grateful for it. Being grateful for it. I mean, all you got to do is drive around Jefferson County and hit almost every stoplight. There's somebody standing there with a sign, you know. And you can fall into judgment real quick on why they're there. But they got a story, and most of their stories would blow your mind if you knew where they came from. You ever want to watch a really good movie? It's an old throwback movie that kind of talks to that. It's called Ironweed with Jack Nicholson and Meryl Streep. And if you want to talk about the lives of two people that were very prominent and now they're standing around a 55-gallon barrel homeless, you know, to just see what brought them to that stage. It makes you have a whole new appreciation for the unhoused community out there. So if you want to watch a good movie, that's a good one to reflect on. But just to be grateful that, you know, we have stuff to eat. In Daniel's discipline in Babylon, Daniel 1, demonstrates how intentional choices and nourishment reflect obedience to the devotion of God. And Daniel's decision to follow a plant-based diet was merely about health, but about faithfulness to God's command. So he was going the vegan route. As a result, God blessed him with health, wisdom, and favor. If you watched the recorded video a few weeks ago, we had Miss J on there. And I showed you when she was on Steve Harvey's show. And that's somebody we know very well, Miss J. She's right up here in the quarters in De Pere at the long-term care facility. But she went vegan. And she went from almost 300 pounds down to 140 just by changing her discipline and changing her diet. And she walked a mile every day in her one-bedroom apartment. Just walked, 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 walked. And that's how she lost the weight and got herself back into shape. And I always loved that little skit with Steve Martin or Steve Harvey, because they're having this exchange and he had just became vegan and he says, "Well, I'm trying." And she goes, "Well, take the word try out of it." Right? And he goes, "Yes, ma'am." Steve Harvey. He said, "Take the word try out of it." And he repeated her message. So that is you know, a way that Daniel and some of you might remember Rick Warren and Saddleback Church. They had the Daniel diet, if you would, the Daniel plan, you know, and that's out there. You can find, use that as a resource. But again, it's more about, I think, the intention and the gratitude around it than it is what you're doing and being legalistic about what you're putting in your body. Because if you're legalistic about you're doing all these things, it can become a pattern. It can become a good, healthy vibe, but at the same time, you just get burnt out on it, you know, and it's just a self-centered thing. N.T. Wright emphasizes, and I quote, "When we offer parts of our lives to God, including what we eat, we join in the redemptive story of his creation," end quote. Eating becomes an act of worship when we approach it with a heart of gratitude and devotion. So just something to think about going forward as you leave here today and you're partaking. I don't care what you're eating. I don't care if you're eating a holy donut. And again, there's no calories, there's no sin, there's no holy donuts over there. And that wasn't on purpose. Let's see, he's going to really eat the donuts afterward. That wasn't set up that way. But it's not as much about what you're doing as what's your intention and are you grateful for it. Point number two is nutrition's impact on serving God. We hit it in that a little bit, but our physical bodies directly affect our ability to serve God effectively. If you can't go because you don't feel good, or you're limited, then you miss out. You know, it's just miss out. If you don't have any money and the retreat comes and everybody's going on the retreat and you can't go because you don't have money, well, it's the same kind of thing. You can't go because you don't have the money. But it's the same thing if you don't feel good. And then poor nutrition can help lead to that, lead to fatigue, it can lead to illness, it can lead to all kinds of diminished capacity to fulfill our calling. And so if you're really other-centered and really thinking about living a Jesus-centered life, then you know your life is for something more than yourself. It isn't just about cracking your knuckles when you wake up. Best part of waking up is Folgers in the cup and get you a cup of coffee. And what am I going to do today? What am I going to go get out of life today? What can life serve me up? More importantly, being other-centered and hey, God, you know, the ultimate two-word prayer, use me. Use my life, however you see fit today. Conversely, nourishing our bodies with care enables us to live our purpose with energy and endurance. And it really is true. What you can put stuff in your system that will just fire you up and get you going. And other things will take you right down. You know, just go eat a bunch of carbs, you know, when you sit down to watch the night movie, you know, and you're out. You know, the food, I call it the food coma, sets in. The sleep monkey crawls up on your shoulder and pushes your eyelids down. The next thing you know, you're out. You're trying to figure out why. Well, a lot of it has to do with what you put in your system. Just as the athlete's diet fuels their performance, and you see athletes are very rigid about what they put in their systems, our choices in eating fuels our spiritual and physical endurance. And this, you don't think so. You just think about, look at pro athletes. Look at today. You're going to have two big games on it, the Commanders and the Eagles, and you got the Chiefs and the Bills. You're going to see these guys are in incredible shape. Incredible shape. And they have to be able to play at that level. But they'll interview a lot of people that are out of the game now, retired, and they don't look anything like they used to. Their bodies have changed. And a lot of it's just because they fell into worldly ways and self-serving ways with their diet and nutrition, and you can see the effects of that big time. A runner training for a marathon carefully chooses their meals to ensure they have the strength and the stamina to complete the race. One of the guys that I mentor, I probably shared about him before, but he at one point robbed the bank and ended up in Leavenworth prison. And while he was in Leavenworth, that's where he turned his life around and gave his life to God and started living a Jesus-centered life in that space, and helped start the first marathon in a federal penitentiary ever. He helped start it. But when he got out, he came home 16 years ago, you know, less than that, about 12 years ago, when he came home, I called him, and it was his birthday, and I said, "What are you doing?" I hear him. I go, "What are you doing?" He goes, "Man, I'm running." I go, "You're running?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm running 48 miles today for my 48th birthday." And he was actually in line at Hardee's getting a cheeseburger. And he was still moving while I grabbed the cheeseburger. Now if he goes, he eats this cheeseburger because he has to have fuel to endure that. And I said, "Why would you want to run 48 miles? I'm kind of like Larry the Cable Guy. If you see me running, shoot whatever's chasing me, you know?" It's kind of that mindset. But so some people are into it. And just like Susie said this morning, she goes, "Those old golf clubs I got in there, you can just get those away. I'm not going to do that. That's too hard." She goes, "I'd soon train for a marathon before that." So just to hold Susie accountable to the marathon training, that was this morning. That was this morning. So anyway. So I called him on his 49th birthday, to be fair. I said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I'm sitting on the couch watching TV and eating ice cream." What a difference a year makes, right? Yeah, I thought that was funny. But, you know, in the same way, our physical choices impact our journey. Greg Boyd writes, and I quote, "Our bodies are not incidental to our spiritual lives, but integral. How we treat them is part of how we worship," end quote. So by caring for our bodies, we honor God who gave them to us and equips us to serve him greatly and more fully. And that's what we're called to do, each and every one of us. And lastly, our last point is spiritual nourishment through communion, which we're getting ready to partake in. And it's our connection to the gospel, if you would. The fruit of who we are. And communion is the ultimate reminder of Christ's sacrifice. It's the ultimate reminder. I got a fair question for my niece. Actually, I've been just read her. This is her. This is exact right from Facebook Messenger. She sent me this quote. Not a quote, a question. Here was her question. And it's a fair question. It's because she just lost her dad not long ago. And then they turned around and lost her sister. Here's her question. Thank you for everything, Uncle Harold. I'm at the airport waiting on kids. How does one get past being angry with God? I'm so angry at him, Dad, and Shell, you know, for taking them out of my life, end quote. And so that connection, and I had to remind her in my comments back, is when we start to question God about those big things, we've got to ask this ultimate question. Before we start questioning why people in our lives have to die, we have to ask, why did Jesus have to die? God's only son who never sinned at all in his life. But yet he had to pay the ultimate sacrifice so we could be here this morning, so we could have eternal life, so we could live a Jesus-centered life, the best life he could ever live as human beings. We have to start with that question. And those big questions like that, there's so much mystery. Most of them will never know on this side of heaven. I believe we will know someday, you know, maybe in the hereafter. But on this side of heaven, I don't believe for a second that God decides, okay, well, it's your expiration date, you're gone. You know, it's a world system, and the world system as it is, and life on life's terms, and life's not fair, regardless if you're a Christian or not. Regardless if you said your prayer this morning and you're eating very well and you're really taking care of your body and your mind and your spirit, you're doing all those things and you're very committed, it does not mean life's not going to throw you a curveball. We got people sitting right here that are prime examples of that. My sister and their family is a prime example of that. It's just life on life's terms, but because of the communion we have with God, because of Jesus, we don't have to go through that alone. And we can walk shoulder to shoulder with other people to deal with the aches, the pains, the accidents, the illnesses, and eventually death all of us will face in our lives, and the people that we love too. And so communion helps us that. It's just as physical food sustains our bodies, communion sustains our spirits by drawing us into a deeper fellowship with God. That's what communion is all about. It's just to bring us closer to the truth. It's the truth that sets us free, right? So even in this painful loss of a niece and leaving behind a 7-year-old son, and you think about how tough that's going to be on everybody, at the same time, you know God's got this, and God will work through that and take care of it. The Lord's Supper is the sacred meal that unites us in gratitude and faith as we partake in the bread and the cup. We remember Jesus' broken body and what his body represents for us and his blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. Tim Keller highlights, and I quote, "The Lord's Supper is not just a ritual. It is a feast of grace that points us to the ultimate banquet in God's kingdom," end quote. It reminds us that we need physical food to survive, but we need Christ to thrive spiritually. We need Christ to live forever. We need Christ, friends. We need Jesus in a big way. And so that's really how this all comes together. So as we reflect on today's message and the past weeks as well, we see a pattern of God's calling to honor God in all aspects of our life, every aspect. We're going to spend some time on body, but for this first third of the season. But it's really important because my hope for all of us is at the end of this year that we're, as far as stewards and servants and conduits for God's message, that we're stronger with our bodies and our minds and our spirits as we go through. From embracing our identity as image bearers to treating our bodies as temples, as we talked about the last few weeks, and now eating well for his glory, each step brings us closer to living a life centered on Jesus. And that's what we want to do. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your perfect design and provision. You have created us in your image and called us to be temples of your spirit. Teach us to honor you in how we live, work, and eat. Lord, as we surrender our ambitions to your will, help us to see every action from our meals to our ministry as an act of worship. Thank you for the gift of Jesus, who sacrifices, give us a new life and purpose. May we glorify you in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know more about us, we are Transformation Church. We are a church for people who aren't in the church. We are a Jesus-centered community made up of everyday people just like you. We refer to ourselves as Transformers, committed to helping God change the world. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at our House Springs campus. We are moving and launching a new campus soon in Eureka, Missouri, scheduled to launch on April 6, 2025, and we would love for you to join us and be a part of this Jesus revolution. We also meet during the week in smaller groups called house churches, and that's how we make it relational. We regularly hear from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram, Vimeo, YouTube, and TikTok. You can also download our app for free and for fun from your favorite app store. You can find the download link in the show notes or on our website at www.transformerforlife.org. That's www.transformer4life.org. Inside our app or on our website, you can access all our available audio and video teachings and view and download our bulletin, sermon notes, slides, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. Lastly, if you want to learn more about supporting Transformation Church with your time, talent, and finances and what it takes to become a transformer, please visit our website. God loves generous people, and so do we. So a gift of any amount of your time, talent, and finances is much appreciated. Hey, thanks for being a member of our extended Jesus-centered community. I'm glad we are on this journey together, walking shoulder to shoulder, helping people experience a Jesus-centered life and discovering the kingdom of God.